Welcome home, guys. Glad you're back. Well, thank you, worship team, for pulling that off for me. It was wonderful. Wonderful. Probably the quickest I've ever sung that song. But I love it that way. And I love the message behind it. That's exactly what we're going to be talking about this morning. If you want to grab your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. And in Peter, we are talking about living a thriving life here in a foreign land, on a broken planet. And specifically this morning, we're going to be talking about how God is the foundation of a thriving life. So we're going to read our verses together first. We're actually going to get, Lord willing, make it through four verses this morning. And we'll read our verses, pray, then I have a little illustration to get us started thinking about the topic. Here we go, verse 3, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Lord in heaven, we just thank you for your perfect word, your mighty word. The letter you've written to us, Lord, we thank you for the message in these words this morning. And we do ask you, Lord, that you would just be our teacher today. Lord, help me to get out of the way and you be the one speaking into my own heart and to every heart here, Lord. We just need to hear from you, want to hear from you, and commit the time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, foundations are important, even critical. And they become even more crucial when you're facing trials. Let me give you a little illustration. There was a huge earthquake just a little bit over 100 years ago. It's become famous, maybe a little less known now since it was 100 years ago. But it was called the Great Kanto Earthquake. And it took place over in Japan, Tokyo area. I'll just read you a couple of specifics about it and what happened after it. Approximately 140,000 people lost their lives due to the earthquake and the fires it created. Major cities, including Tokyo and Yokohama, experienced widespread destruction. And get this, over 570,000 buildings were destroyed, except for one. And that building is called, it was actually replaced once, because it's been so long, but that was called the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo. And it was not destroyed. As a matter of fact, it stood strong and became a place where homeless people stayed because of all the widespread homelessness. And it was not destroyed because of a very uniquely designed foundation. As a matter of fact, the folks in Japan had heard about this famous engineer over here in America. I'm not even going to tell you his name because I don't want to distract from the message behind this. But they got him to engineer this thing. They basically wanted this hotel built on a mud pit. So he designed a very special, unique floating foundation. And then he even hung the water lines inside the building on flexible roping and stuff so they could just move around during an earthquake. and it wasn't destroyed. As a matter of fact, this hotel opened the very day that earthquake hit. And the engineer back in America, I can imagine, is basically biting his fingernails off because he can't get any information out of Tokyo because of all the devastation over there. Finally, 10 days later, he gets a letter or a message somehow or another from a guy named Baron Okura writing about the whole deal to him. Here's what Baron writes to him. Hotel stands undamaged as a monument of your genius. Hundreds of homeless provided for by perfectly maintained service. Congratulations, Okura. So, wow, pretty cool, right? What we are studying this morning is the fact that we have a similar foundation for our lives. We have a foundation that will carry us through whatever situation we face down here on this earth. And that's exactly what these verses are all about. The scripture that we just read together points out that God and His work through Jesus provide the foundation for our lives. And that's why I wanted us to sing that song. I'll just read the first verse together with you again. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. And friends, He has not only come in search of us and bought us, but He has provided a rock-solid foundation for us and our lives. And that's what these verses are talking about. So let's go through them together, look at them together. The very first one we looked at is verse 3. Okay, look at the first four words there just to get us started. He says, blessed be the God and Father. Okay, so stop right there. Blessed be. What's Peter doing at the beginning of his letter here? The words blessed be are actually different than the word blessed Jesus used. You might remember the Sermon on the Mountain where he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and et cetera, et cetera. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Back there, that Greek word meant happy or fortunate. But here, when Peter says, blessed be God, it's a word of worship. He is saying, praised be God. He is thanking God, the foundation of his life. And we have some things to thank our Heavenly Father for that are the foundation of our lives. And he points out the very first one right there. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are thankful for him first. We are worshiping someone. We're worshiping a person. And that's our Heavenly Father, the one who, first of all, made us, and then the one who sent His Son to rescue us, and then, of course, the Son sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. So He's not only our Maker, He's not only the reason that we're alive today and that we enjoy the beautiful weather, the air we breathe, the food we eat, every good and perfect gift, all the things that we enjoy. He's the reason for all of those things. But He's also sent the Savior. When I was a kid, we used to sing this song constantly. And it just comes to my mind so readily. The Father sent the Son sent the Spirit. The Father sent the Son sent the Spirit. The Spirit gives us life so we can give the gift of love. And it's just cool to think about how God's our Maker, God's our Savior, God's our constant companion. And so when we come in here every Sunday morning and just start singing songs of praise like we did today, that's what we're doing. just like Peter right here, blessed be God. Thank you, God, is what Peter's doing. So first of all, we're praising a person. We're worshiping a person. And then there are some new realities that have come into our lives that we are also worshiping him for. Keep going. He says, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You and I, if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been born again. This word always makes me go back to Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus comes in, he's anxious to meet Jesus, but he's got 1,000 questions. And he comes in getting ready to, I think, fire every single one of them. And Jesus says, Nick, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the foundation of it all, Nick. This is where it starts. You've been born physically, yes. Because Nick is scratching his head. He's like, what in the world is he talking about? Well, you've been born the first time, but you have to be born spiritually. You have to be born into God's family. And I believe he finally got Nicodemus to understand that. And we need to understand that. We need to just celebrate that. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only are our sins forgiven, but we have what this verse calls a living hope. A living hope. It is an incredible hope. Every week I go for a little while to see a few folks at the nursing home up in the town of Louisa. There's not a lot of hope in that building. Right? I mean, some of the ones that I'm seeing now each week, I've been visiting for like 2.5-3 years now, and they're just getting worse. And worse and worse and worse. Every time I go, it's a new pain, it's a new tumor, it's a new thing, and their days are short. But friends, we have a living hope. We serve the God who lives beyond this world we live in, the God who's going to take us to be with him forever. It's a living hope. And we should worship him for it. He keeps going though. Born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's a second new reality that we celebrate. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You and I have something much greater than an earthly inheritance awaiting us. You know, your earthly inheritance, I don't know about how yours went. I had a little bit of inheritance, but a lot of mine just kind of disappeared because it was needed in all these different areas. But you have an inheritance that cannot disappear. As a matter of fact, he gives you 4 strong descriptions of it right here in this verse. First of all, he says, it's imperishable. That means no spoilage. You know, if you go down to the corner store here and pick up a watermelon or a cantaloupe or a few ears of corn or something and they sit there on your counter a little bit too long, you cut them open, I don't think I'm going to eat that one. And it gets tossed out in the woods. Not so with your inheritance. It is imperishable. It is also undefiled. This means it will not rust, chip, or weaken like poorly made plastic. It just gets worse and worse, and it's been sitting around for a while, and you go pick it up, and it breaks before you can even use it. I mean, even precious metals deteriorate, like silver. You know, if you got the silver sitting in the cabinet, you get it out to use it, you're probably going to have to polish it up. Because it has been oxidized. Not so with your inheritance. Your inheritance in heaven cannot be changed. It is imperishable. It is undefiled. It will not fade away. God's resources are limitless. He's not going to take part of your inheritance to fix some other problem in somebody else's life because he doesn't have the resources to do it. Your inheritance is going to be full strength in all of its glory, undefiled, imperishable, will not fade away. Finally, it is reserved in heaven for you. It's got your name on it, a name that cannot be changed. I love that place in the Bible where the Lord gives us a new name. And nobody knows it but him and us. Can't change the name on your inheritance because nobody else knows it but him. It's reserved in heaven for you. It's got your name stamped right on it. You might remember Jesus' assurance to his disciples. You know, he was getting ready to leave. And they were getting really nervous about it. And he was trying to encourage them. And he said, listen, I have gone to prepare a place for you. If in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. Don't be anxious, guys. I'm getting a place ready for you, and you're going to be with me forever. You're going to be with me forever. I am going to come back for you. This earth is not our home. He is coming back for us. Think about this. If you would, turn with me real quick. Keep your finger here. But turn over to Luke chapter 10. This has always been so fascinating to me. Luke 10. In this chapter, Jesus has sent the disciples out to preach. He gave them authority over demons and unclean spirits and illnesses, and he sent them out to preach. The disciples go, they come back, and they're celebrating, okay? They're excited because all of a sudden, they've seen all this stuff happen. So let's just read a little bit of it. Luke 10, start in verse 17. It says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So they're excited about this new authority Jesus has given them and how it's all going. And he even gets in on the party a little bit. Look at verse 18. He said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. So Jesus is celebrating with them a little bit. But then look what happens. He immediately gives them a caution. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. But rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Right? He tempered their party just a little bit. He says, guys, celebration's good. But you're celebrating the wrong thing. The thing you should be celebrating is that your names are recorded in heaven. And that's what Peter is celebrating here at the beginning of this book. He's praising God. He is thanking God for being our God, for being our Savior. And then he is thanking him for this great salvation that is reserved in heaven for us. There's a third reality. Okay, the first one was that we've been born again. The second, that we have an inheritance. The third new reality in verse 5, it says, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So you're protected by the power of God. Okay, not just by, you know, force field that the Star Trek show came up with or some other willy-nilly little thing. You're protected by the power of God. Keep your finger here again and flip over to John chapter 10. Okay, Jesus basically gives us this same assurance. But he says it in such a unique way, such a powerful way, that I think it's just helpful to meditate on. So this is John chapter 10. Start with me in verse 27. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So if you believe the Bible, you have an incredible promise in here. Just like Jesus told the disciples earlier, Peter is, he probably got that very thought from remembering what Jesus said. You're protected by the power of God for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. All right, so we're celebrating God. We're celebrating these new realities in our life, this great salvation that's awaiting for us. And we've come back, in verse 6, we're coming back to right where we began. We're coming back to worshiping Him. Look at verse 6. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." So you might be going through some hard stuff. You might be suffering, as many people are. We live in a broken world. A lot of things happen. But you and I should still be celebrating our Creator and our salvation. In this you greatly rejoice. That's what He's encouraging us to do. Friends, this is your new foundation. This is your life's foundation. This is the bedrock of your life. When you get up in the morning, I believe you should begin your way, your day, this way, every day. When you get up in the morning, you should say something like, "Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, the one who was and who is to come. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Lord, I worship you, my Creator, my Redeemer, my Savior, my friend. I trust you with my life today." Friends, you should say that to Him no matter what you're going through. Because I'm telling you, no matter what you're going through, all those things are true. God is bigger than the trials you're facing. He's bigger than any trial you will ever face. He is the foundation, the rock solid foundation of your life. So I would make that your prayer. If you do that, you'll be obeying verse 6. This is a great verse to memorize, by the way, and just put into your life every single day, because He's your Savior. He's your foundation. Please pray together with me. Lord in heaven, I just want to thank you again for your words, Father, not mine. Lord, these are your words. Words from the living God. The book that has stood the test of time against every attack. Here I still have it in my hand, now hidden in my heart. The living Word of God, the promises of God, that I have an eternally secure future. Lord, we just praise you for this today. We thank you for being with us every moment of every day. Lord, we choose you as the foundation of our lives. Lord, we want to build on this. Lord, we don't want to build on anything worldly, any shifting sands that this world has in place. Lord, we want to build on you. And Father, we just thank you today. We trust you today. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that's hurting, that needs answers, Lord, that they will find at least the beginning of that in the rock-solid reality of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.